Open your Bibles today to Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, I believe we got the green light to go there this week. If you're here last week, I tried to go there, and the Spirit of Jesus prevented me, like he prevented Paul from going to Asia. But this week, I believe we're going to be able to talk about this. So once you get to Hebrews 11, then turn a few pages and put a finger at James chapter 2. I believe that's where we're going to land today, Lord willing. But we're in a series right now called Authentic. Authentic. Does our life show that you and I are followers of Jesus, or do people only hear us say that we're Christians? We talked about so far some of the practices that help us to be authentic followers of Jesus Christ. The three heads of lettuce. Three heads of lettuce. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to him. And let us not give up meeting with one another. The last couple of weeks we talked about joy, the importance of joy, not only in persevering in our walk with the Lord, but also that it would be a distinctive, a defining characteristic of a Christian, regardless of the things that they are going through in life. The world handles things one way. A Christian who's following Jesus, who has a different perspective, should handle things differently. So that's an important aspect, joy is, of being an authentic follower of Jesus. Did you guys listen to the songs I sent last week? Yeah. We need that to encouragement in our lives. I was listening to, I was reading a story about a guy by the name of Ganesh, and he is in Nepal. He started himself, and his ministry has started over 4,000 churches. 4,000 churches. And he's also one who rescues people from human trafficking, so that's part of his ministry. And in the midst of that, he got some enemies along the way, and someone decided to drag his name through the news of that nation that he was an abuser and not a rescuer. And as that was in the news, people started to believe that that was true. And in the midst of going through that, having to walk through that, your name being all over the tabloids of look at all the things that you've done wrong, which he hasn't done. They were just things that were being said of him, kind of like what was happening with Nehemiah and the three that were coming after him when he's trying to build the wall. In the midst of that, they had some terrorists that came into his ministry organization and began to torture the workers of his ministry. And one of them was actually killed. So in the midst of all of that, that amount of stuff that's sitting on him was crushing. What did he do? Well, he's in Nepal, which is at the foothills of Mount Everest. He went to a mountain and spent 2 or 3 days with the Lord. And he came back with this, what he would call defiant joy. Defiant joy. You think about if your child is rebellious and you tell them to do something and they stand and look at you in the face and they say, no! Right? That's defiance, isn't it? That we would, as believers, be like that when anything comes our way that is difficult or hard to deal with or things that are meant to steal our joy, we would say, no! I have the joy of the Lord as my strength. Ain't nothing gonna steal my joy, like the song says. Amen? So defiant joy, that's the kind of joy we need to have. All right, you at Hebrews chapter 11? If you're there, say I'm there. Okay, we're going to start in verse 39 of chapter 10. Verse 39, we're going to start there because that kind of gives us an intro. And Sonny, would you be willing to read the scripture for us today? Come on up here, you can read mine. Yeah, come on up. She's like, I don't know that I want to do this. Come on, Sonny. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Yes. Hebrews 10:39. Can I just read right there? We're going to go to verse 3, so right there.
But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved, and what is seen has not made out of what was visible.
Go right there.
Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, not assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
There you go. Good job. Can you give her a hand? All right. Father, we thank you for your word today that we got to read. We thank you for the things that you do in your word in our lives, God. We thank you that your word is the living and active. It is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. So, God, would you speak to us today? Would you remove the things that need to be removed, God, that we may hear clearly what your spirit is saying? God, would you speak through my mouth? I pray it would be your words and not mine today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Authentic Faith. Authentic Faith. What is faith? What is faith? You've probably heard that many times, especially when it comes to believing in God and deciding to become a follower of Jesus. And you probably have a good idea of what that means. You know, like you put your faith in Jesus. That's what we do as believers. But how would you define that word to somebody else? If someone said, what is faith? What is faith? Well, maybe you'd say, well, faith is belief. Faith is belief. Well, that's actually what that Greek word for faith means, is belief. And so you could say, well, faith is belief. And then, but what if they were to say back to you, well, what's belief? What does that mean to believe in something? What does that mean? It's a good question, right? So then maybe you'd say, well, Hebrews 11, chapter 1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's faith. But then they say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's a good question. How about we talk about it today? That's what we're going to do. We're going to define what faith is. Okay, so I said before, faith is belief. That's what the word is defined as. But faith being confidence, that means a mental realization. Like an, aha, I get it. Faith is, aha, I get it. In what? Things hoped for. Another way to say that in the Greek is what we trust will be before it is. Aha, I believe this is what is even before I see it happen. Okay? And assurance, that's persuasion about what we do not see. Persuasion, being fully persuaded in this, aha, I get it. This is something that is not yet going to be, but I can believe that it will be. That is faith. That is faith. So faith is a mental realization that what we trust in is real and will come to pass. And even though we cannot see it, we can be fully persuaded that it is true. Okay? That's a longer definition. All right. So you think of gravity. You believe in gravity? You can't see it, but you believe in it, right? Why do you believe in gravity? Because you've seen the effects of it. Yeah, you're sitting in your seats today. You're still in your seat and not floating around because there's gravity right now, right? If I were to take this water bottle and I were to drop it, you know what's going to happen. Even though you haven't seen it, you know what's going to happen, right? It's going to fall because of gravity, okay? Now we can believe or come to have faith in something that is based on past experiences. We know because we've dropped things before, because we've fallen, you know, right? We've tripped and fallen and hit our head or something like that, you know? Because we've done those kind of things, we can believe and we can have faith in things that could happen based on our past experiences. My Jewish atheistic friend that I knew in high school, he was an atheist when I knew him, even as a friend of mine. But at the end of that year, he saw something in my life. He experienced the Holy Spirit in my life. That was the year I gave my life to the Lord. He experienced the Holy Spirit's presence and doing things in my life that was different than the world. And he came to me and said, the last day of school that year, and said, it's because of you that I believe there is a God. The experiences that we have can lead us to a place of faith as we believe that this is something that can be and something that actually does exist, even though we can't see it. Though we cannot see God, we know that he exists, and we've seen the effect of who he is in and around us. Like I told you my story about Fiji last year, at the end of last year. My story of Fiji, I was drunk. I fell into the water in the ocean of Fiji, and I'm here underneath the water. I'm not able to move. I'm totally drunk. I am dead. There's nothing I can do to get to the surface. I can't even move right now. I'm so totally drunk, I can't even move. I'm looking up at the surface, and I just killed myself. This is a really, really good idea, John. Good job. And in the midst of that, I said, God, help me. I didn't say it out loud because I was underneath the water, but I thought that, God, help me. And the next thing I know, I'm on the surface of the water. That's the bedrock of my faith. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Lord reaching down from on high and taking hold of me and drawing me out of deep waters. I wouldn't be here today. I believe by my past experiences that there is a God who does deliver, who does redeem, who does rescue us and bring us to a place of abundance in him. Hallelujah. And this faith, Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews, if it's not Paul, says in verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. These ancients are the people we're going to talk about over the next few weeks in the chapter of Hebrews 11. But so we define faith. Now let's look at verse 3 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. That word understand means to perceive or to observe. In other words, by faith or through our faith, we are able to look and see, to observe God's handiwork. By faith, we can look at this world. Romans chapter 1. This invisible qualities of our God are clearly seen through what has been made. I'm looking at his invisible qualities as I look at each one of you. His invisible qualities are clearly seen through what has been made so that we are without excuse in saying, there must be a God. There must be a God. Faith then becomes the glasses or the contacts, or if you don't wear corrective lenses, then it's your eyeballs. Faith becomes the eyeballs through which we view all of life, And not only view it, but we interact with it. It changes our perspective. If a teacher were to put a picture before you and say, okay, I'm going to show you this picture, and this is what's in this picture, and they were to flip it over, you'd be looking at that picture for what your teacher just told you, hey, this is what's in this picture, right? For instance, I have a picture that I'm going to have the sound booth person put up in just a minute, but I'm going to tell you about it first, okay? This is a picture you probably have seen before. But this picture, I'm going to say, is a wealthy young lady who's turned away from the guy who's drawing or the person who's drawing her. She's got a feather in her hat, and she's wealthy because she's got a fur coat on, a fur hat on, and she's got a necklace, and she's turned away from the camera. And so that's what this picture is. So if you can put that up there. You see that? But do you also see the old lady whose necklace is her mouth, whose ear is her eye, and she's got a big old nose? You see that? When you look at something with a picture of what is going to be there, it changes what you see. It changes what you see. And faith is like that. When we see things from the perspective that the Bible gives us, we would call that a biblical worldview. Faith allows us to observe things that we may not otherwise see are there. Albert Einstein once said, there are two ways to look at the world. One is if nothing is a miracle. The other is if everything is a miracle. Everything. And so faith in God helps us to perceive or to observe God in what has been made. We would call that general revelation. Anything you look at, okay? Anything you can see, that's general revelation, and it's meant to reflect the handiwork of our Father, our Creator. But so that by faith we can understand what he wants to speak to us through his word. And that would be special revelation. The word of God is special revelation. It is the God-breathed, inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired word of God. The infallible, perfect word of God. Okay? And this is important. The point there would be faith helps us to understand. Faith helps us to understand. And this is important because Paul spends the rest of Hebrews 11 talking about those who had the perspective of faith over those who had a worldly perspective. Talking of worldly perspective, secular scientists. They look at the world and they try to explain how it came to be, but not through the eyes of faith. They remove God from the equation because God is not measurable. He is immeasurable, right? Nothing can measure God. He's not tangible. We talked about that. His invisible qualities are seen, but God himself is not visible, right? And so they can't put him into that equation. And why would they want to? Because if there was a God, that means I have to follow what his rules are for my life. So it's just easier just to take him out of the equation. And yet they recognize that everything that we have and we see and we look around, all of that can't just have appeared. It had to be something that happened to make it happen that way. That's how we get the Big Bang Theory and the theory of evolution. And they expend all this time and energy and resources trying to explain how the world came to be rather than just receiving, perceiving, observing how God made it to be. They put their faith in science alone rather than faith in God evidenced through science. I had a friend years ago that told me he was talking to an atheist, and he said, you know, it takes more faith to believe as an atheist does, to believe everything happened by chance, and to believe that there is a creator, an intelligent design that made everything come to be. It takes more faith. Yeah, how about that? And not only that there is a creator God, but Paul goes on to say further in Hebrews 11:3, it is by faith that we understand the world we see was made at God's command. We understand the world we see was made at God's command. It kind of rhymes. Go with me. Understand, command, okay? But not through raw materials that he had before him. We can create things with things that are before us. Like I could take this table down here and I can make it into something else. But I have to start with the table. But Hebrews 11:3 says that everything was made solely by the words coming out of our Savior, our loving Father's mouth. He said, "Let there be," and there was. That's it. That's it. That we would observe that. You ever said this as a parent? Your kid comes up to you and says, "Mom, can I, or Dad, can I go do this?" And you say, "No." And they say, "Why? Why? Yeah, or why not?" And you say, "Because I said so. Because I said so. What more reason do you need? Because I said so." And based on this, we believe God made everything by speaking, because we believe that. Then we can look at Proverbs 18 and verse 21, which says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and make the observation then that there is power in the tongue to speak things into existence. So it starts by general revelation. We see the world that was created. We look at the Bible. The Bible tells us that God spoke that into existence. Now we can look at Proverbs 18:21, and it tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, we can speak life or we can speak death. When we speak life, that would be like an encouragement. Oh, man, I am just so inspired by how you continue to hold it together. Even though you're going through some really rough stuff, you continue to keep your faith in the Lord. I mean, that's encouraging. Here's something like that. Not only that we're going through something, but it's producing a purpose in someone else's life. That someone else is getting something out of the things that I go through as I continue to hold to my faith. But we can also speak death. To say to somebody, "That's dumb. That is dumb. I can't believe you would even do that. That is dumb." Or to say of ourselves, "Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did that." That is speaking death. That is speaking death. And so we can understand we have the power to speak life or death. All right. So as we look at the topic of being authentic believers, not just saying that we believe, but living we believe, let me ask you, is our faith visible? Is our faith visible? How do we and others see our faith unless we tell them that we have it? It's a good question. Now you can turn to James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says this. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds?" In other words, what good is it just to say that we are Christians and yet nothing in our life represents that we are followers of Jesus Christ? Okay? So we can observe that now, faith and deeds have something to do with each other. He says, "Can such a faith save them?" And he's not talking about when we put our faith in Jesus, we trust him that he is able to completely forgive us of all of our sins, but it's because of his grace that we receive. Okay, that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, there's going to be deeds that come out of your life. There's going to be actions that come out of your life. Because if it doesn't, then is this faith over here really a decision that you've made to follow Jesus, or is it just lip service? Did you grow up in the church, and so by proxy, you are a Christian? Okay? That's what he's talking about. Verse 15. Suppose a brother is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. Is dead. That word there in the Greek for dead is in respect to fruitlessness. Not death in a body, but fruitlessness. Faith without deeds is fruitless faith. Or in other words, flip it around, deeds and actions are the fruit of our faith. And accordingly, faith in God means that we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, like Hebrews 10 verse 39 says. We do not have fruitless faith, but we are those who have faith and are saved. Again, we are not saved by our works, okay? It's easy to take some of these scriptures and say, okay, well, it's all about the works that I do because that's what it's going to validate my faith, and so I got to make sure that I'm doing all these works. Our works do not save us. Our works do not save us. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, okay? We believe the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for us on that cross. When we receive that, we are saved because we believe it through our faith. And it is in Jesus Christ. So we don't need to go make ourselves do a bunch of works, but those works are a natural outpouring of our faith. In other words, the things that we do should be coming out of what we believe to be true. Not because we're like, okay, well, I'm a Christian, so I got to make sure I go serve in this area, and I go do this, and I go play in the worship band, and I go to every single activity that's open, and I come to all the different things that they ask me to come to, and all that kind of stuff. No, that kind of stuff will burn you out. Right? But when we're doing these things out of our faith, because of what Jesus has done for us, we are being generous with what we have, our finances, our time, our resources, whatever the case may be, then people are able to see authentic faith in us. And it's validating to us as well. Verse 18 of James 2. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds, by what I do. In other words, the one cannot be separated from the other. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to do works. Faith does not come by works. We're going to talk about what does come by those works as according to our faith here in a minute. But the one cannot be separated from the other. Like Jesus said of God our Father, he said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. They are not separated. Not separable, they are inseparable. In fact, in Romans, it talks about what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And can anything in all creation separate us from his love? No, nothing. Angels and demons, death or life, man, anything. Anything in all creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves us regardless of what we do. Whether we live for him or whether we don't, he loves us regardless, 100%, fully, unconditionally, he loves you and I. Nothing can separate us from his love, okay? And in the same way, faith and deeds should not be separated, and they cannot be. You can have deeds without faith, like I was talking about earlier. You can do a bunch of good works. There's one of the other pastors that I meet with here in town. He was talking to a guy, and he was inviting him to church, and the guy's like, well, we don't go to church. We don't believe in that kind of stuff. We just believe that, you know, out of our good works that we do, if we do enough good works, we'll get to heaven. Oh, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Okay? So you can have deeds without faith, but you can't have faith without deeds. You can't have faith without deeds. And so our faith is visible through our deeds. And it shows others that we are authentic followers of Jesus Christ, not those who just offer up lip service and say, well, I'm a Christian. But there's nothing in their life that shows that. So what would these, we're talking about works, deeds, what are the things that would validate our faith? I have a few things I'm going to list here. This is not an exhaustive list. There's a lot more, okay? But these are five kind of maybe main categories. Number one, prayer. If you say that you are a follower of Christ, you are also someone who prays. How can you follow someone you don't ever talk to? Your life is characterized by one who prays, not just on Sundays when I say, let's pray, okay? But regular daily prayer, both personal prayers like Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 3, three times a day he would go to his window, he would kneel down, and he would pray three times a day. He got in trouble for it, but he kept doing it. And praying for others, James chapter 5 says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Prayer, the action of prayer is a fruit of our faith. Number two, sharing Jesus with others, sharing the gospel message. Sharing is a fruit of faith. Why would we share the gospel if we did not believe it was the power of God unto salvation? Why would we do it? If we didn't believe that to be true, if we didn't take it on faith, if we didn't experience it in our own lives, why would we share the gospel with anybody else? Number three, God bless you. Number three, giving. Giving takes faith because you and I know there's a lot of other things that we'd like to use that money on. We could use it on. And especially it takes faith when giving means giving up something that we hold dear to us. Our bank accounts, savings accounts, whatever the case may be, possessions, to instead be generous and willing to share. That Macedonian church I talked about earlier experienced extreme poverty but gave out of faith because of the grace that was given to them in Christ Jesus. They gave what they had. It wasn't maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Maybe it was just a few pennies, but it was generous for them. The first church in Acts, they were not just giving a tithe of 10%, but rather they were giving sacrificially. They had land, the Bible says in Acts, but they sold it to give to those who had need. Their land was their income, their source of income. They gave that away. Dr. Alan Tennyson says in our day-to-day, it'd be like if you had two houses and somebody that you knew didn't have a house, you would just give them your house. That's a big deal. That's New Testament giving right there, sacrificial giving. But no matter what portion you give, giving to the church, ministry organizations, or to one in need, giving is a fruit of faith. Number four, trusting God in the trials. That we would endure in our faith, our belief, our trust in Jesus, even when we go through hard things. I think about Job, the book of Job. He had everything taken from him. His wife said, just curse God and die. But it says in the book of Job that in all that he did, Job did not sin against the Lord by doing that. Even though he had everything, all of his wealth, all of his property, everything taken from him, all of his children were killed. Apparently he still had his wife. But she wasn't really helpful in that moment anyway. He had everything taken, and if that wasn't enough, he had these painful boils all over his skin. And yet he continued to endure. He continued to have faith in God and to believe that he was going to deliver him from that. That we would persevere through trials, and especially with the joy that is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That we would persevere through those trials that we may become an example that inspires others to persevere, like Ganesh, as they see the fruit of their faith. Last one. Number five, doing life with others in the church. It takes humility to admit that we need each other. Confessing our sins to one another, as the Bible says. And to share with each other not only the gospel, but our lives as well. Are we selfish? I can be. Not all the time, but most times. Or do we allow the fruit of our faith to be shown as we share our lives together? You're here this morning. You're doing that one pretty well, okay? But not just on Sundays, throughout the week. We have all kinds of technology in our day-to-day where we can pull out our phone and be like, oh, I'm going to text this person, I'm going to call this person. You know, you put it up to your ear and you press a button and it calls somebody, you know. We can do that kind of thing. We can schedule times that we can meet together, go for coffee, go for lunch, go for breakfast, whatever the case may be. Get together on a regular basis. Do life together. Just because you don't work together or live in the same house doesn't mean you can't do life together outside of Sunday mornings, okay? Sunday mornings are important, but it's like the 30,000-foot view, and you need the 300-foot view. But it takes faith to believe we can trust others with our lives, doesn't it? It takes faith to believe that. And along with that, serving and giving of your time is a fruit of our faith as well, as we serve on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday morning or during one of our outreaches. Those are deeds that show our faith and those you minister to. And I have a pastor confession testimony example of seeing authentic faith in the church. So I grew up in a Presbyterian church, as most of you know, and I remember at a confirmation class, I remember two things. I remember I can quote the 66 books of the Bible in order. I learned that. I can still do that today. But I also learned, I read something about that the goal of Christianity is that you move closer and closer to the Lord, and maybe someday you have an experience. Maybe someday you have an experience. That's what I remember reading, okay? And so I grew up in this church, and I was saying that I was a believer, but I was not living a Christian lifestyle. My deeds did not line up with what I was saying I believed in. And when I got saved, and then later when I fully surrendered my life at 23 years old, I began to look at that church and point fingers at that church and say, it's because of you that I ended up all that bad stuff that I went through in my life. You didn't teach me right. I called that church a dead church. And I judged them like that. And it wasn't until years later, when I was in Bible school, I'd been in Bible school for a year, and I took a class on the different forms of worship. You know, you have like the charismatic worship, hybrid worship, but you have this fundamental contemporary worship. And the guy that talked in the book was talking about hymns, the old hymns. And it began, God used that to begin to soften my heart toward this old church, because I'm like, they're all just steeped in tradition and religiosity, and it's all just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, all that kind of stuff. The liturgy of that church. It was just, I was so judgmental, guys. I'm just being honest with you today. It takes faith to believe I can trust you with the things that I share. Okay? You know? And God began to soften my heart as I thought about, maybe there's something good that can come out of that Presbyterian church. Just like how, was it Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know? Maybe there's something good that can come out of that. And so the end of that year, I said, let's go to our old Presbyterian church. Invited my parents and my brother and his family. I said, let's go to that church for our Christmas Eve service that year. This is years ago when I lived in Omaha. And so we went to that church, and I walked in, and I hadn't been there for years, but there's a lot of familiar faces that I grew up around that were there. You know what they did? They welcomed me in. They said, I'm so glad to see you. It's been such a long time. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Wow. They weren't judgmental like I was judgmental. And then I began to walk down. I began to walk down one of the halls of the church. And on this wall, all the way along this wall, were pictures of different things that this church had been involved in. All the people of this church were involved in different missions things, different outreach to the community, all kinds of different things. I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Look at this picture of, now I would call it authentic followers of Jesus Christ. Look at this whole wall of all these people that are following Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry that I would have ever judged your church. That's the kind of authenticness that we want to see, and we want people to see when they come into this place. I mean, we don't have pictures up all over the wall, but they have people that are going to greet them and say, hi, I'm glad that you're here today. What's your name? You know? We have things that we're doing that show, hey, we're living out our faith. That's because I was told to. That's because someone said, hey, you got to do this. Because we want to do that. That comes out of us naturally. Those are just some examples. James goes on to say in verse 22, he says, speaking of Abraham, that Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did. In the Greek, that means, that word complete or made complete, means to be fully developed. So our faith is fully developed as we live out what we know to be true. Our faith becomes fully developed, and this shows us to be authentic followers of Jesus Christ. My main point today: Jesus completes our joy, but our deeds complete our faith. Jesus completes our joy, but our deeds complete our faith. And as they do, our faith shows ourselves and others that we are authentic followers of Jesus Christ. I read this recently from someone who followed Jesus for many years. He said this: living a genuine or authentic all or nothing life for God is the only path to satisfaction. The only path. The only path. I have never regretted my attempts to be yielded to God. Never regretted those. On the other hand, I have paid dearly for the times that I have been self-willed, carnal, rebellious, or timid. As you wrap up today, would you stand with me? I want to ask you today, are you living by the faith that you profess? Do you live what you believe to be true? If so, what are the deeds that are coming out of your life? What do you see the fruit of your faith in? It's there. Do you see it? Have others seen it? I challenge you today. This is my challenge today, is I'm going to pray, and I want you to do this preferably before you leave this room, but sometime before you leave today. I want you to look around this room right now. Look around this room. Everybody's doing it, so you go ahead and look around too. That's okay. Yeah, 360. Go ahead, Brooke. Yes. I want you to think about, as you look around this room, is there somebody in this room that inspires you in your own walk with the Lord? Is there something that someone else is going through as they continue to cling to the Lord that inspires you? Do you see somebody in this room as a man or a woman of prayer? Do you see someone who is committed to what is happening here at Friendship Church, and that just encourages you to want to do the same? Or perhaps it was a testimony that somebody shared that you're like, oh man, that really touched my life. I'm going to pray, and then I just encourage you to find somebody after service and just tell them, hey, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that testimony that you shared a month or two or three ago or last year. Thank you that I see that you are continuing to stay faithful to the Lord, even though I know that you're going through some junk. I just want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for serving and giving your time. It matters to me. It matters to my children. Thank you for being a man or woman of prayer. I hear it when I hear you pray. And I just say sometimes, God, I want to be like that. Would you find someone in this room today to say that to as I pray? Too many. Just pick one. Just pick one. Preferably the one that's closest to you, physically. Father, we just thank you so much for this privilege that we have today to hear your word, to understand at least something about it today. I pray, God, it's by faith that we understand. It's by faith that we understand. So God, help us. Help us as we walk out this journey of life. God, help us to remember, we don't have to fabricate our works and our deeds to show that we're Christian. But God, that as a result of looking at you and seeing what you have done in our own lives, seeing your faithfulness, how you poured yourself out for us, Lord, that we would pour ourselves out. And in that pouring would be those things that help to develop our faith. As we live out what it is that we say that we believe, God, may you pour out those things that we need to do that are going to develop our faith and be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.